I thought it was a really good meeting. You could feel the excitement and the energy from the shareholders. I think, I would guess a pretty high percentage of the people there were new shareholders. And so I think for the going through it for the first time was exciting to them. And pleased. You know, I think obviously we've talked about some of the performance results in terms of our finances were very positive. So I think it's good for shareholders to hear that. And really pleased to unveil the new video boards. I think those were a hit. I think I talked to a few fans on the way out, and I think, you know, you don't realize what a difference that video boards make. So to be able to have the highlight film and then some of the other clips, I think people enjoyed. So, you know, it's funny how looking at it, just kind of eyeballing it, it looked to me like it was at least the biggest crowd that we've had since I was here. It looks, though, I think we were just under 12,500 was the announced attendance. So I think people must have spread out a lot, but it seemed bigger. But we had 20,000 people log on online, so. You know, combination of over 32,000 between. So it's growing.
21,000 logged on to the exclusive webcast that we offered to share.
How many
of those?
Just under 12,500,
really.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Now. Wow. Yeah, you know, I mean, they were well into the north end zone and. But, you know, that shows you what I know. I would have guessed, at least 20,000. But.
So between the two, Mark, does that make it the largest corporate shareholders meeting that you guys have?
It's the largest Packers, largest meeting we've had when you combine the two. I think Berkshire Hathaway claims that they had over 40,000. So we not quite there.
Mark,
I'm going to demand a recount. Yeah, you know, I mean, we talked about, you know, the challenge of the experience at home and TV and doing more everything we can to make the experience in the stadium really positive. And I think for our fans, the video boards are going to really add to that experience. And I got a taste of it today. And you know, there's so many different things that we can do with these in terms of statistics and information. And, so it's going to be a challenge for all of us to get up to speed on it. But you're right. I think, you know, this was something that the competition committee actually voted on, and I was very much in favor of, was the idea of having the under the hood. So when the referee at the game goes underneath the hood and watches the replay, we're going to have up on the video board the exact plays that he's viewing. And so, and you can't get that on TV, you can't get it at home, you can only get it in the stadium. So we think that'll be a real positive, a real popular addition. Yes. Yeah, this year. Yeah.
Would you say the fan ownership of the Packers is purely symbolic, or do you think the Packer ownership model actually accounts in some part for the team's financial and on-the-field success?
Well, there's no question. It's a big factor in our success. It's not an investment in the sense of a normal investment. I mean, they don't get dividends. They can't resell it, for a profit. But what it does, though, is it gives them a bond to the organization that you just don't see. From other organizations, and you know, everybody talks about their great fans and how supportive they are. But with our fans, it's different, and I think the ownership is a key part of that. And you can get a sense just talking to people, around the stadium today in the atrium. They just have a great pride in the organization and the team, and I think the fact that they're shareholders is a big part of it. I think part of it too is quite honestly. you know, smallest market in the NFL, a community-owned team. It's, I think it's a story that resonates well with people.
Are you able to get a sense of the shareholders' collective opinion on the organization? Can you really, how often do you get a chance to talk to them and see what's really on their mind?
Yeah, no, this is probably the very best opportunity to do that. You know, you got obviously a lot of people here, and yeah, so, you know, on my way out and coming back from the stage, talk to a number of people, and then immediately following this, I'll go into the atrium and spend a lot of time talking to shareholders. I think Ted Thompson is up there already, you know, talking to the shareholders. So, you know, it's, you know, I think because we have a unique ownership structure, I think it's really important for everybody in the organization to be accessible to fans. And so, you know, that, and it starts with me. You know, I want to make sure fans know that, you know, they can contact me. You know, I'm willing to hear them and talk to them, and, you know, both the good and the bad. I think that's how you get better as an organization, is, you know, you listen to your fans, your shareholders, people that really have a vested interest in the organization.
So you wouldn't rather work for
I love working for the 369,000 shareholders that I have.
Mark, you talked about some of the challenges. How concerned are you about the litigation, be it Vilma's injunction or the concussion retiree lawsuits?
It's a real concern, Mark, I think, for the league. And, you know, I think, unfortunately, the reality is, you know, as a league, we're successful, profitable, and you know, you've got a lot of people looking at it saying maybe there's a chance to get some money or to change things. You know, in terms of the litigation, well, they're really separate. You know, the former players of concussions, I mean, first of all, if players have problems, whether it be concussions or injury, back, knee, whatever, and it's directly related to their participation in the NFL, you know, we need to do everything we can to help them. But I'd rather have those things resolved through working together than lawsuits. And, you know, just a quick story, you know, obviously as a former player, I almost on a daily basis now, I'm getting letters and emails from attorneys asking me to join the lawsuits against the NFL. So it's like, they're obviously not doing their research, you know, it shows you, I mean, there's an active market out there. You know, the attorneys are almost shameless in terms of, you know, how they're pursuing and marketing the lawsuits. You know, the bounty situation, you know, it's just disappointing. You know, I think one of the most, for me, and again, you know, I go back a number of years and I'm a little old school, but what's disappointing to me is to see some of the comments that players make about the commissioner, Roger, and the commissioner's office. You know, to me, you know, the commissioner should be treated with a level of respect. You know, just going back to when I was playing, you know, I couldn't imagine players being critical of Pete Rozelle. And, you know, it's just different time in our society. And, you know, obviously, you know, I think those players are concerned about the impact on their careers. But, you know, as I said in the meeting, I think Roger is doing exactly what he needs to do, and he's protecting the integrity of the game.
Mark, did you say when you told that story about Jerry Jones, was that at the NFL meetings where you had that conversation?
Yes, yeah, yeah. And then I think he's trying to figure out if he could do the same thing.
when you talk about the game day experience and competing against yourselves on TV, is it a little bit different for you guys? I mean, I know you still want to do those things, but there are other teams that really is a big concern, getting people's fannies in seats for you guys.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, we're very fortunate, you know, in terms of our situation. You know, obviously we're adding seats. You know, we've got a strong and long waiting list. But, you know, I mentioned, you know, I don't think we can become complacent. You know, I think you need to continue to strive for excellence and get better in areas, whether it's on the field or off the field. I think for us, you know, the very best thing we can do is continue to make sure that the experience we provide is excellent. And, you know, it's not just in the stadium. You know, I think You know, it's the entire experience when you get to the stadium and tailgate, and what kind of things we have available outside the stadium is also, I think, important to fans as well. But you're right. I mean, you know, by adding seats, we're really kind of going against the trend within the league. There's a number of teams that, as you mentioned, are really struggling selling out. Knock on wood, we don't have that problem right now, but things can change quickly.
What are some of your specific plans for the second tower, relocation of Curley's Hall of Fame, and when?
Sure. Yeah. No, it's a good question, Bob. It's really, you think about it, Bob, the atrium, as we know it, it's been about 10 years. And, so we're really looking at what can we do to better activate and make better use of the space in the atrium. Couple things that we've looked at, I think the pro shop is great, and we've kind of added, we've bits and pieces. We kind of gerrymandered a little bit here, a little bit there. On game day, it works as well as it can be expected, but it's still chopped up. We've got, it's on two floors. Getting storage there is a difficult issue. So what we're looking at is, as you look at the atrium from Lombardi, to move the pro shop to the other side of the atrium, to have space that'll be exclusive, all on one floor, not broken up, that we think will be really helpful. The other plan that we have is to move Curley's. Right now, I think Curley's is challenged by its location. It's up on the second floor. It's kind of like going to a restaurant in the mall. You got to park outside, walk up the steps, go into the atrium, go up to the second floor. So the thought is to move Curley's to the first floor. So to have both the restaurant and the pro shop on the atrium floor, we think would really be a positive thing. And then the other move would be to, right now, our Hall of Fame, which is really, one of our real hallmarks, is in the basement. And it's kind of sunken. It's hard to see. So to move that up to the second floor where Curley's is now, have escalators taking people up to it to really highlight that, we think that could be a real positive. So we're still in the planning stages, but would like to move forward with that as soon as possible. I think that would be, I think it's going to be a big improvement for our fans, both on game day and then also, throughout the rest of the year.
Where would the other tower be, Mark? Where the ticket office is?
Yes. Yeah, the ticket office would have to be relocated. Yeah. A lot of that, we're still in the planning stages and, working with the league in terms of the G4 stadium financing, that'll be an important issue for us. But, we feel pretty good about it, and I think it's some exciting changes for our fans.
Mark, was this something you talked about before you started the current project and it just didn't quite fit that, or was it kind of a revelation?
No, this is something we've been talking about for quite a while. But the very first phase was, the in-stadium and fan enhancements within the stadium. But I think this will be a big help to us as well.
You moving the meeting earlier today, do you feel like that worked out?
I think we got a little, obviously got a break with the weather. And I'm glad you brought it up, Rich. I mean, really, with 250,000 new shareholders, we really, really did not have, we didn't know how many people to expect to come, that would come to the meeting. So we planned all different kinds of contingencies, and, moving that meeting up gave us a little bit more flexibility. Were we to have a real large number of people show up and possibly require us to have two meetings, but obviously we weren't even close to that.
Will you go back to guests then next year?
Yeah, that's something obviously we'll review. I think that's something we'll give serious consideration. Yeah, the other thing that we did this year for the first time is we offered fans an opportunity to get commemorative tickets. Because what we've noticed in the past is, a lot of fans will say, yes, I'm coming, and they have no intention of coming. They just want to get the ticket. And so we offered the option of for shareholders to say, no, don't plan on attending, but I want a commemorative ticket. And over 47,000 signed up for commemorative tickets. So I think that was really a really popular option. And we thought, and it did, it gave us a little bit better indication of what the attendance would be. But because in the past, many, many people would sign up with no intention of coming just to be able to get that ticket.
We're still doing it that way this year rather than the commemorative?
I don't know. I think just, a lot of the new shareholders are from outside of Wisconsin, so it's not easy for them to get here.
Mark, Ted took a lot of grief from fans even before he got here, and then obviously in 2008.
Yeah.
Great ovation last year, and then
standing out this year, yeah.
Well, what are you thinking as you're sitting up there on the podium and you hear them chanting, "We love Ted"? I mean, what is that?
Ted for president, and I assume they meant President of the United States. No, I'm really happy for the organization, but specifically for Ted. He as you mentioned, he took a lot of criticism. I think unfairly, Yeah, he's a tireless worker. He is just an extremely talented general manager, and it's not an accident. He works at it, and I'm really happy that he's starting to get the recognition that he is now.
With Cabela's now coming in, and you mentioned there's still formative planning for the Title Town District. Is that spurred along anymore, or how far out are you?
Yeah, well, the Cabela's was an important step for us. I think to get an anchor retail store and that location, we think will be a real positive. And as you know, we own quite a bit of land between there and Lambeau Field, and we're planning and studying it, but we do think this will really spur development and lead to further development. That I think it's just going to be a real positive for the community, to make it a, and it's not often, I'm sure, I don't think the Department of Transportation gets a lot of credit, but they've done a really nice job, and I think when that intersection is completed, I think that'll enhance the whole area too. So we're excited about it. I think there's some great options that people will see over the next few years.
So the health and safety is one challenge for the league moving forward. Is there any concern that the rules and fines could go too far and change the game?
I think players obviously will raise issue with that. But again, I think Roger, he's got to protect the game and the future of the game and the integrity of it. And it is. And I mentioned a little bit. I do think there's a little bit of a tension there. You want to strive to make the game as safe as possible, but you don't want to turn it into a 7-on-7 flag football game. And so, part of what makes the game so exciting is that it's fast and physical. And but I think finding the right balance there. But we've talked about it at the league level. It wasn't that long ago that boxing was one of the very, very most popular sports in America, and I think people just got turned off by the violence and the impact that that it had on boxers. And the long term, my concern in the long term is that parents look at the game and say it's too violent, there's too many risks involved, I don't want my son playing the game. And that really starts to erode at your fan base in the future.
Would you oppose now the 18-game regular season, players playing 100% of snaps for 18 games?
Yeah, that's a good question, Bob. I was in favor of it during the bargaining process because I saw it as a way to bring the parties together and to reach agreement on a new collective bargaining agreement. Now... to be honest with you, I couldn't support a move to 2-18. I just think with all the focus on player health and safety, it would be Yeah, it would be really hard to do that. And and the other thing, I actually, Bob, I would be supportive of a move to 2-16. Reduce the number of preseason games. Challenge there, obviously, is it's you're losing revenue. And you know, a little bit, one of the other, and then a couple other issues with that would be, do you really have enough time to develop younger players if you only have two preseason games? And the reality of it is, if you went to 2-16, you'd be reducing, the total number of games that are played. But your starters would probably play, because you have to get them ready for the season, and the two preseason games would probably play as much as they do now in the four preseason games. So don't know if you gain that much from a health and safety standpoint. But I think those are things that we have to look at. What kind of things can we do to make sure that the game is safe as possible for our players?